a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul. Welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday, May 26th of 2023. I am Paul Gallant, and guys, we have some sad news to open the show. And I know you guys probably thought that we've run this bit into the ground. After all, the bench got canned this week, and now we're trying to figure out who's going to host it. Is it going to be Dell? And any of the hosts who were in this week, I don't know. Well, unfortunately, Sean Mapes, my buddy, my friend, my brother, my family, Jake Asman decided that it was time for him to go. And instead, we had the next man up. You know, the Paul Gallant Show, we were immune to the violence and all the things that were taking place at ESPN 97.5. So RJ Saunders is behind the glass for today's edition of the program. RJ, you know, we got to pour one out for our guy, Sean. Gone.
Shout out.
So many firings happening. So we pour out our drink of choice, whatever it is. I'm going to choose a Barefoot wine cooler because it's class.
All right, I thought you were going to go malt liquor.
Listen, that's racist. What?
Oh, Grey Goose.
Paul's white. He drinks malt liquor? I don't know.
Henny? Henny. Some Casamigos?
Henny is not bad. I remember someone gave me a shot of Henny and said, "You're going to hate this." I had it. It wasn't bad. I didn't hate it.
So you're a Henny guy?
I guess so. Damn. So RJ Saunders is behind the glass. I'm going to make him as uncomfortable as possible today because this is what I love. There's been a couple of times where we've had remotes and RJ's been running things from that spot where we're at, and RJ I can tell cringes at a lot of what I say, so can't wait for 10:15. I think I'm gonna have you really uncomfortable. Anyway, hey, look, the Astros didn't play yesterday. It's another Thursday without Astros baseball. Not gonna lie, I'm getting kind of annoyed with this. Is it every single Thursday for the entirety of the year that's going to be a travel day for this team? Whatever the case, they didn't play. They've got a 3-game series against the Oakland A's this weekend. We're hoping that the Texas Rangers, who are playing a very good Baltimore Orioles team, wouldn't you be surprised to learn that the Orioles have the second best record in the American League and they're only 3 games back of the AL East leading Tampa Bay Rays. We're hoping that the A's are swept by the Astros and that the Orioles sweep the Rangers because it would put the Astros in a tie for first place. But as we wait for that game to happen, you heard me talk about Jeff Bagwell on the Astros broadcast for that series against the Brewers earlier in the week. I get that Jeff is not going to dump on any of the players that are on this team, let alone guys that he probably was involved in the signing of. But I don't like it when somebody is trying to tell me that everything's going to be fine when one player or two players are struggling, and maybe a third guy, Michael Brantley, is injured. The two strugglers, Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero. Bagwell's defense for those two guys' early struggles have been look at the back of the baseball card. So if it's just Jeff Bagwell, fine, but there's more sunshine pushing coming from the Astros. Joe Espada is the Astros bench coach. He is a guy that has received flirtations with other baseball clubs to be their manager. Maybe he's the manager in waiting until Dusty Baker eventually retires. He had this to say about Jose Abreu's struggles on MLB Network Radio.
You know what? He actually had a pretty good series after Milwaukee. I'm starting to see a few more walks. He's starting to chase a little bit less. He's starting to get his hits. I do believe that the track record speaks for himself, guys. I still think that this guy is going to hit. He is very positive in the clubhouse. He trusts his process, and I think it's just it's early in the season. I know sometimes our fans really want to see him hit the home runs and do the things that we are used to seeing on Jose Abreu, but I think it's just a matter of time, guys. He's going to click. This guy's been a really good hitter for a very long time, and I think it's a matter of days, of weeks, that we're going to see Jose just get hot and carry our ball club for a while.
All of the things that he said up to that last statement, I'm okay with, but the last statement, people in the Astros got to stop declaratively telling me that things are going to turn around for him, whether it's Jeff Bagwell, whether it's Joe Espada. It might not. And to say, I think it's a matter of days or weeks where we're going to see Jose Abreu just get hot and carry our ball club. Come on. Don't do this to us. Hell, don't do this to Jose Abreu. It's kind of unfair to make that assumption. This might be who he is. He might be just a contact hitter at this point in time, which is unfortunate given that they've paid nearly $60 million over 3 years to bring him in. But stop telling me things that are not happening are going to happen. It's disingenuous, and I'm cool if you guys don't talk about it at all. And I get it. What are you supposed to say when you're asked about Jose Abreu? You're supposed to say complimentary things, and maybe you should gas him up. But to say that he's going to carry our ball club at some point in time in the next few days or weeks, I hope you're right. I just don't believe you, so don't tell me that. Thanks. Also going on in the world of sports, of course, no Astros game yesterday. The Celtics have won 2 games in a row after being down 3-0, and everyone seems to think they are going to rally all the way back. Sure, Jan, sure. And I'm a Celtics fan. I'm wearing my Lucky Charms Hawaiian shirt today. I still have zero faith that this team is going to come back. I had zero faith that they were going to hold on to that lead that they had early against Miami. But hey, they blew them out. They blew them out in game 4. Series goes to Miami. The Celtics even it at 3? Okay, great. But you know what this has me thinking of? It doesn't have me thinking about the Celtics' chances to come back. This series has me thinking about the Houston Astros. Remember the 2020 American League Championship Series? I remember watching it from Seattle. I remember essentially being in the closet with my Astros rooting at this point in time, because everyone in Seattle hated the Astros so much for the cheating scandal. So I kept it to myself, but I was watching that ALCS. Tampa Bay comes out to a 3-0 lead. All of the hyenas who hated the Astros for cheating are cackling and laughing. But then they win game 4. They win game 5. They win game 6. They tied that series up at 3 games apiece. And it's weird watching some of the highlights of it. You take a look at that ballpark. It's totally empty. They're pumping in crowd noise for these neutral site playoff games. But I'm thinking about game 7 of that series. And damn, it just... Lance McCullers... I know he had that great moment in the ALCS against the New York Yankees, but man, Lance McCullers blew that game 7. He blew that game 7. I mean, he gave up a home run to Randy Arozarena. Was it the first inning, the second inning? So they're down 2-0 right away. And then he gives up this home run to Mike Zunino, who owned him in that ALCS.
And Zunino sends that one deep. He'll watch it fly. A long home run for Mike Zunino. He gets him again. His second off McCullers. His fourth of the postseason. And the Tampa Bay Rays up 3-0 here in the second inning.
I think that was show favorite Dodger Joe Davis on the call for that one. You can just hear the glee in his voice, knowing that his Dodgers are probably not going to have to play the Tampa Bay Rays in the World Series here. So they're down 3-0. They're eventually down 4-0. Wasn't a great day for the offense. Carlos Correa did have a 2-run single with the bases loaded, 2 outs in the 8th inning, but too much to overcome. And I don't know. For some reason, I'm just annoyed with Lance McCullers today. And I hope he comes back, and I hope he's good for this Astros pitching staff. He's probably going to need to be if this team goes on a deep run this year. But, ugh. One of my favorite Astros Twitter fan accounts, maybe F4N, had a very funny meme that he put together using like some pictures from Good Will Hunting. Of course that's your contention. You're a third-year Astros Twitterer. You probably read a random blog, and now you're convinced Lance can stay healthy and was worth the contract. You'll think that until July, when he comes back with a flat fastball and his velo down, then you'll say he was rushed back by the front office. Then it shows the picture of that guy who argues with Matt Damon in that scene in Good Will Hunting, the You Like Apples scene.
Well, as a matter of fact, I won't, because he probably came back early to help the team, like in the postseason, because he...
And then this thread continues. Yeah, yeah. Because he's such a great teammate and wants to be buried in the H. You got that from an HEB commercial. Are you going to plagiarize the whole thing? See, the sad thing about a guy like you is that in about 2 years, you're going to start doing some thinking on your own. And you're going to realize that there is one fact. Lance is habitually hurt, wasn't great to begin with, and is stealing money. Damn! But I saw that. I saw the Celtics rally from down 3-0 to be down 3-2. And I'm thinking about the 2020 ALCS when the Astros rallied from down 3-0 to tie that series to force a game 7, only for Lance McCullers to suck at the beginning of that game. It happened. I'm not going to, you know, look at him like I look at Will Harris in 2015, game 4 against the Royals, or Ken Giles, or Osuna, or Rafael Montero. Not quite there. I'm just saying. It's something that's on the brain today. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. And speaking of oft-injured Astros pitchers, Forrest Whitley left his start in Sugar Land early in the third inning yesterday due to a right arm injury. So I guess that's not going to be an option. Yikes. Feel bad for Forrest Whitley. It's been a rough start to his career and perhaps end to his career yesterday. I hope it's not, but that doesn't look good. Coming up next, let's rebrand Houston sports teams. Since one college has rebranded themselves, and the Washington Commanders are probably going to have to rebrand again soon because of trademark law. Fun! Paul Gallant Show, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
RJ Saunders is in for Sean Mapes today. He said, I know the song. I think I know the song, but I'm too scared.
Think of the shirt that I wore, what, a couple days ago. A Grizzly shirt.
Oh, no.
And you said what?
This is bad. I don't remember anything I said.
I wore a Michael Bibby shirt and
a Michael Bibby with a little dash of Steve Nash. It's like, plow! I thought I recognized it. This is from NBA Live 2003. Sean Mapes and I have, RJ Saunders and I have a deep appreciation for old school basketball games. And we got into a long conversation about some of the old ones we played. The ones I had, NBA Live 2000 for the PC, NBA Live 2003 for the PC. Remember NBA Live? That used to be the dominant basketball video game.
And then 2K.
And then it just got murdered by 2K. Like, 2K killed it. It's only 2K now.
Yeah, it's gotten bad. Like, NBA Live has...
Well, they've rebranded, like, twice, haven't they? And it still hasn't come back?
Oh, so normally it's what? Oh, we're going to come out with the game. No, we're going to push it back because, you know, there's things we want to work on. Then they came out with... Like, in 18 and 19 or 19 and 20, they came out with one.
Right.
And then it was like, we're not going to do it
anymore.
We're
just going to stop.
Yeah.
Let's focus on half-assing Madden. That's what we're going to do because we have the monopoly on Madden. Because there used to be a little game called NFL 2K5. Some would argue that was just as good as Madden 2005, which was probably where Madden peaked, I think, as a video game. You used to have some damn good... video game options for football. Sadly, it has gone down the chute since then. But hey, NCAA football might be back next year. That's actually pretty exciting. Anyway, Guys, there is some news in the sports world. I don't know if people are aware of the university, George Washington University. They used to be nicknamed the Colonials. Well, guess what? They have rebranded. They are now the George Washington University Revolutionaries. Because Colonials is problematic. Can't have that as a nickname anymore. Colonialism, bad. It's the English's fault. It's not our fault. It's the English. We were just doing what daddy taught us. But here are people from George Washington University spin zoning the change from Colonials to Revolutionaries.
I really like the Revolutionaries. I think it really fits with our GW, like with our aesthetic and everything else.
Revolutionaries are bold. They embody creativity and passion. Revolutionaries are change makers. They're not content with the status quo.
Because it really embodies the spirit of GW.
Let's go, Revolutionaries.
I like Revolutionaries because it references George Washington in a positive way.
It alludes to the original foundation of our country, and it has a modern application as well.
It refers to George Washington in a positive way. That guy. Okay. I mean, I get it. There's some problematic elements with George Washington, but hey, like, why not just be the George Washington Washingtons? Huh? I think that works. The George Washington wooden chompers? The George Washington chompers, because he supposedly had wooden teeth. I don't know. The George Washington generals, that is a very easy one. But, okay, the revolutionaries, that one really rolls off the tongue. Why not just the revolution? Like the soccer team that you have in New England. I don't know. Anyway, they've rebranded. RJ, do you like the nickname Revolutionaries?
What? I mean, what else are you, if you're going to keep like the George Washington, I mean, what, you really don't have too many options.
George Washington Generals is so easy. There's a little bit of alliteration. It's not too many syllables like that. I think that was the way to go, but perhaps military is a little problematic too at GWU. I don't know. Anyway. There's another, perhaps, nickname change coming. This could be in the NFL. The Washington Commanders lost out on their application to trademark Washington Commanders due to a likelihood of confusion with the Commanders Classic, a yearly college football game between Air Force and Army that's already trademarked. Okay, I doubt that's ever going to happen. We're talking about the NFL versus, like, the college football rivalry that, let's be honest, not many people care about. No offense to the Air Force. My dad went to the Air Force Academy for a little bit, but no one really cares about the Air Force Academy versus anybody. It's just Army Navy, right? That's the only one people care about. So that one's trademarked. Okay, but no one is going to confuse an NFL team with that. There's another trademark that some D.C. area man filed. The Washington Space Commanders, Washington Wolf Commanders. So we sent them in, and I guess because those trademarks exist, that means that they can't approve Washington Commanders quite yet. But I guess there's a chance they might have to change the nickname if they can't actually get the trademark.
Is there anything there in your mind, Paul, that quickly you could say, we're going to change it to this? Because
Washington Hogs. And I know that people might think about sexual innuendo when I say hogs. But back in the 70s, the Washington Redskins were known for their offensive linemen called the Hogs. That was a part of their nickname. There were people coming to the stadium that were wearing pig face masks. I think hogs works. The color is kind of similar, like a burgundy hog. Like, it's kind of similar to what Arkansas's got going on with the Razorbacks. Razorbacks are obviously a type of pig. So I think the hogs would work. Warthogs, anything like that. I know some people were suggesting the Red Tails. Okay, that could have worked too. Red Wolves. All right, now we're starting to get a little bit annoying. I think that hogs would have been great. And that's what I suggested right away. Commanders isn't the best. It's not the best.
I just was wondering who's going to get it confused. Like, if you say, hey, man, you want to go see the Commanders? The Army-Navy game?
Right.
Like, no. Like, the Washington Commanders, the football
team. Classic. Whoa. Come on, man. Come on, fellas. Like, okay. Like, again, I'm not trying to besmirch the Air Force here. But look, like, they admit it. That's not the game anyone cares about. Air Force does have sick unis, though. People forget.
Oh, their unis are sick.
Their unis are dope. I love those unis. So, say Houston sports teams ran into an issue with trademark or something like that. All of a sudden, they have to change the nicknames, like, on the spot. What are we changing Houston sports nicknames to? I think the obvious one for the Astros is Colt 45s. And I get it. Guns. Bad. But We would not have been able to settle any of the American West without the invention of the Colt 45. We wouldn't have. I actually read a book about this. It's called Empire of the Summer Moon, because the Comanches were just killing the bejesus out of all people who were messing with them that would go west, essentially, of San Antonio. And these guys were like amazing horseback riders. We're talking all-time horse riders. Like, if we're doing power rankings, like, probably tied for one, the Mongols, the Huns, and the Comanches. And the Comanches were, you know, fighting with horseback archers against dudes with guns. So, like, you could argue, like, they were going up against, like, a much tougher schedule and a stronger conference than, like, the Mongols. Mongols are going up against, like, these losers from Europe who are all, like, in armor and like, moving, like, 2 miles per hour and stuff. So, Astros, Colt 45s, Houston Rockets. Well, yesterday, we talked about Calvin Murphy's nickname. So, yeah, okay, maybe you can't be the Houston Rockets. Why not the Houston Pocket Rockets? Is that okay?
Why do I feel like you're going to be walking out with like a giant Barney and friends?
Well, it could be that. Could be that, RJ. But how about, I mean, think about it. I mean,
we want to come off as mighty. Nope, you're the Pocket Rockets. You're not mighty.
But, okay, but I mean, think about this. You know, this is localized. If we're not going to do space-related things, some people might get those if they go to a strip club in Houston, right? So what? It's Calvin Murphy's nickname. So there's like a little bit of history there. And if the Rockets have to get rebranded, how about that? Why not? Why not? Who says no?
I'm trying to figure out like another name because I'm trying not to like let this one go. I need another name.
How about the Houston Polecats, which is a strip club that is not that far away from here.
Paul,
I've never been, RJ. I would.
Do
never.
You want us to be a joke?
I mean, they kind of are right now. I mean, they're not good, and they're trying to bring back James Harden. So. But that's my favorite strip club that I drive by. And every now and then, like just to be annoying, I've thought, I should take a picture of this and say, they have cats here? But it's spelled like K-A-T-Z. But yeah, it's on Westheimer. I also love how like the Treasure strip club is like basically like four doors down from a school. Houston zoning is my favorite thing in the world. okay. This one might be a little bit problematic, but okay, think about this. You have the Houston Texans, right? So, some people don't like the Houston Texans nickname. So, how about this? Houston, insert other nationality. So, you probably can't do Canadians, right? Because, like, we hate Canada. You can't do the Houston Californians, right? We hate California. We could theoretically do Houston Cubans, seeing as there are so many Cuban baseball players who are fleeing Cuba to come to Houston, right? The Houston Cubans? I kind of like that. How about this? And this is going to sound problematic. It's not intended to, but we do have a very large population of Mexican Americans living here. The Houston Mexicans? Would that work? No?
I smell a riot.
You smell a riot? Okay. Well, listen, I'm just throwing out, like, if it's not going to be Houston Texans, how about something else? And let's be honest, like, Sam Houston and company, they won. Texans haven't been winning a lot. Mexico, Santa Ana, they lost. I don't know. I mean, kind of like, and also the way that Santa Ana lost was very similar to the way that the Texans have lost over the last like couple of years. You know, it's just like, oh, whoops, we took a nap in a field and they got us. Damn.
Why don't we just buy the name from like the USFL team or something like that? Like just buy
Gamblers. The Roughnecks would be good, honestly, if we could.
But I feel like the Roughnecks are going to stay this time around. The USFL team, they're kind of on the fence.
The Houston unnecessary mandatory valet that is at every single restaurant. It doesn't really roll off the tongue,
but it is what is here in Houston.
It is here in Houston. I kind of like that one. Someone texted Houston traffic cones, Houston potholes, the Houston lack of zoning, and it's really confusing at times. The Houston 290s, that's intimidating.
Houston traffic jams,
the Houston I-10 lanes. And then, of course, we have the University of Houston. How about the University of Houston Shockers? Because, well, obviously the hand, but more so because they're leaving the AAC and joining the Big 12. And there's no longer any like potential issues with, you know, Wichita State. So that's nice, right? So you change things up a little bit. Anyway, if you guys have Houston bike lanes, there are no bike lanes in Houston. Pretty much, if you're going to ride a bike here, you're probably going to die, unless you do critical mass, which is the worst. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. There's a lot of rebrands going on in sports. What would you rebrand the Houston sports teams in town? We got the 10-minute drill coming up next. Paul Gallant Show, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
RJ Saunders is in for Sean Mapes, playing Best of NBA Live 2003. I'm not going to lie. One of my favorite things to do on Spotify, if I've maybe had a couple of and I'm just lounging around the house, is to go back and play the soundtracks from video games I played way back in the day. Some of my favorite ones are like early Madden, you know, like the weird like punk pop metal that they had. Midtown, Give It Up, hell yeah. There's another song off the top of my head I'm forgetting. Oh, the first time, RJ, that I ever heard Hip Hop Hooray, Naughty by Nature, was NBA Live 2000. Yep. And then there was this other song too, Mothership Connection.
Yes.
Oh, what a banger.
That will be played today.
All right, cool. I like it. So RJ's in for Sean Behind the Glass. I was kidding. I keep on having to like tell people I'm kidding when I say that shows have been canceled, because a lot of people are like
I can't tell you the amount of phone calls we got this week.
It's funny because don't you guys know I'm messing around like 90% of the time? Like, I even put on a serious voice when I'm talking about things from a serious perspective. And people are like, oh my God, you hear what Paul said? Like, good God, I am messing with you half the time. And that's the point of the show. You got to figure out when I'm telling the truth and when I'm not.
Take a joke.
I'm an unreliable actor, RJ. I'm like Mr. Robot, which is a great show and you should watch it. We were talking in the last segment about if Houston sports teams had to rebrand, what we could call them. We got a bunch. The Houston Skeeters got to come back. Houston June Bugs. Yep, there's a lot of those. What are the stupid bugs that have that like bang via the butt and they get like attached to each other? Are those June Bugs? I forget what those are.
But I feel like they were called love bugs.
Love bugs. That's it, RJ. You're right. Yes, those things. If you drive to Austin, basically like starting, I don't know, in a couple of weeks, like your car will just murder. Like, it'll be just genocide. You'll be the Hitler of love bugs. You'll just kill all of them. Not good. Not good. Some alternative suggestions for Houston sports nicknames. The Houston Cracked Windshields. Yes. Yes. The Houston Traffic Jammers. Uh-huh.
Yep. Without question.
Houston Allergies, says Virginia Buttonweed. Yeah. I get them bad. Like, I have to take a lot of allergy medication. And some years nothing happens, but other years there will be moments where I'm coughing so much and I'm doing a show by myself and it is impossible. They've been kind of bad the last couple of days. Like, my nose has been running, but luckily my voice hasn't just stopped working all of a sudden, which it does every now and then. And he'll just be coughing, turning the microphone off. the Houston Floods, problematic. Can't do that.
Can't do that.
Nope. There was a team called the Houston Hurricanes, RJ. I'm sorry, RJ. I'm going to keep on calling you Sean.
It's fine.
I'm so used to that.
Yes.
There used to be a team called the Houston Hurricanes back in the day in the old soccer league that was here. I forget which. Was it the World Soccer League, the U.S. Soccer League? I'm not 100% sure, but there was that. Problematic. Can't do that anymore. This is probably my favorite from Double Rods, the Houston Paper Plates. Oh, my God. The amount of cars that you see with paper plates in this city drives me crazy, because I think to myself, okay, first off, this person probably isn't paying for insurance. Second off, this person probably hasn't registered their car, and I did all of those things. The Houston Uninsured Motorists.
Absolutely. That do not want to go to the DMV and just get the license plate.
Nope.
No.
I've been in two accidents in Houston, and
both have paper tags?
Neither were my fault, and both did not have insurance, and we could not track down the people to pay their end of the premium either of the times. even though I actually physically knew where one of them lived because it happened in my apartment parking lot. Some person just like drove in reverse into my car. And I'm like, are you serious? Awful. And the cops came, and I'm like, okay, at least the cops came. This is fine. There's a police report. And I mean, I can't even imagine now where.
And they just disappeared off the face of the planet?
No, I saw them in the complex all the time, but the insurance company couldn't find them.
They didn't even offer like to say like, hey, I'll give you like $300. Like, here's the.
Nope. And there was a part of me that wanted to knock on the door and be like, excuse me. But then I thought maybe they'll shoot me because that would be bad. I saw a story this week about a sad story that happened. Houston, you can't do Houston flood, guys. You guys are evil. Come on. The Houston brown waters. Well, that's Galveston. Come on. We don't have brown water. We don't do that. We don't do that. Houston humidity. All right. Well, hey, I did want to touch on a couple of NFL stories really quickly. Davante Adams, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was last week, there was a story that came out that he did like a long feature piece. And in it, he expressed perhaps that he's a little bit annoyed with the direction of the franchise and wasn't super complimentary of Jimmy Garoppolo. And a lot of people aggregated the story and turned it into this. Does Davante Adams like the Raiders? Does he like playing with Jimmy Garoppolo? He addressed all that at a press conference yesterday, and I got to say, this is a pretty funny line.
A lot of times it's me protecting other people that were involved. Like, I don't ever want Jimmy to feel a way, think that I didn't want him here or I don't like him, or I don't want Josh to feel like, you know, or – you know, I post a picture with Ziggs, and then they're like, oh, is it Josh? That must be the real problem. So y'all can do that. If you're that bored, like, go play Monopoly or some shit. Cause...
Yeah. Go play Monopoly or some S. And look. The best part about that is right afterwards, there's this media reporter, and he's like,
yeah, but like, we weren't doing that. We weren't doing that. No, we were never. We would never do that. Nope, not us. Not us.
And it's just great. I love when the reporters that are there are trying to make the player like them, probably so that they don't leave. And perhaps because they feel like this player thinks that they were guilty as part of the whole, like, oh, is Davante Adams happy in Las Vegas? For his part, Josh McDaniels was asked about it and basically said, yeah, he's allowed to vent. he's been through some ish, which is very different from Josh McDaniels of years past. Also, McDaniels said that if Tom Brady buys the Raiders, which is rumored to happen, that Tom is going to have to admit that the tuck rule was a fumble, and he will never do that. And how dare Josh McDaniels do that? I hope that if Tom Brady does become a part owner of the Raiders, and that's something that Josh McDaniels is asking and Raiders fans are asking it, I hope that Tom Brady decides to move them again. That's what I hope. Because that was clearly a pass. Everyone knows it. Anyone who's watched it, his arm was going forward. That's the rule.
Oh, but it went back into his hand.
Shut up! That's my Lord and Savior you're talking about. You don't know what you saw because you were blinded by his brilliance, and only true believers like myself saw what really happened, which was an incomplete pass.
So what happens to those that do argue against that, Paul? Like, do you guys have them like in a secret room somewhere chained up?
There's a list. There's just a list.
Just a list.
Just a list.
No coming up behind them like with some chloroform?
Well, no, we aren't doing that, RJ. There's a list. And again, if they press too much, I mean, we've all seen Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. We will execute Order 12, which is to destroy all the heretics who do not believe that Tom Brady is their Lord and Savior. Speaking of quarterbacks that annoy some, because I know Tom Brady isn't everyone's favorite QB, Russell Wilson has been a regular subject of the Paul Gallant show due to my time covering him in Seattle, and at first being like, why does everyone dislike him? And then by the end of it being like, oh, I get it now. This is what Russell Wilson, who is a little bit more svelte, had to say about his new bod at the beginning of Broncos OTAs.
Yeah, I feel great. You know, I feel lean and mean, ready to go, and focused. And I'm not worried about that. I'm not counting. But all I know is I'm excited to play again.
Lean, mean, ready to go. Okay, that's Russ. That's Russ for you. Honestly, I feel like Russell Wilson being leaner is not good because Russell Wilson is somebody who extends plays to a point where he just gets pulverized a lot behind no matter what the talent level of the offensive line is in front of him. And if he's a little bit thicker, he's going to be able to take on some of those hits much better.
Okay, here's my only problem with like the lean and mean. Yeah. Wasn't that like every 90s like workout fitness like commercial?
Oh, yeah, it's also the George Foreman ads, RJ.
And knock out the fat George Foreman grill. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to be a lean, mean fighting machine. Like, what, do you not come up with anything original?
Russ? No, he's the corniest person alive. He is so corny.
Mr. Unlimited?
Yeah. Look, I don't want to throw out the term that Rob Parker did, but RG3 and Russell Wilson, there's a lot of similarities between the two of them in that they're both rather fake. They're both so polished in front of a camera. You're like, are you authentic? Why not just be yourself? And it is a bit of a bummer. And obviously with RG3's career failing and not seeming to have that many friends across the NFL, I think a lot of his teammates felt the same way. And it's the same thing with Russ. Like, there's this air of fakeness with him. And you're like, dude, just be yourself, but especially when the cameras are off with other people around you, be normal. It's fine. You're not a politician, and yet you're acting like one. RJ Saunders behind the glass in for Sean today. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A Dallas Cowboy legend is creating controversy. How? You'll find out next, Paul Gallant Show.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
This song is such a banger. NBA Live 2000. Soundtrack slaps. This is the Mothership Connection. I think a 7-minute song. Absolutely bleeps. I am the Mothership Connection. By the way, there is a part in this song that is played in the background, if I'm not mistaken, of a Dr. Dre song. Yeah. We'll talk about this afterwards. I could go all day on this one. I love this one. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. RJ Saunders running the 1-2s and 3s for Sean Mapes. Much deserved 4-day weekend for Sean. I talked about this about a week ago on my own sideshow podcast. I think it's really funny that beer has somehow become a part of our culture war over like one social media post, and that all of a sudden Bud Light, which used to be the beer that had all the cool commercials to the point that I thought it was going to taste amazing when I had it for the first time, only to be disappointed because I was only drinking it to try and impress Taylor Clavins when I was a senior in high school. Sup, Taylor? This was all about that. And then I remember I had the first sip and I was like, this is terrible. But the advertising was good. You had the Budweiser iguanas, frogs. You had the Budweiser. You had the Lizard. You had the Real Men of Genius advertising campaign. It used to be cool, and now all of a sudden they're done because they decided to give a personalized can to somebody who is transgender. And everyone lost their minds because they thought all the cans were going to be like that. And it's turned into this giant bleep storm that honestly is, I think, dumb. But guess what? There's money to be made off of this. Troy Aikman, former quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, Hall of Famer, guy that you now hear on Monday Night Football broadcasts with Joe Buck, has his own beer. It's called 8. It's okay. It's not bad. It's not great, but it's, you know, typical light Pilsner beer. It's pretty good, but it's not, you know, I'm not going out of my way to get it. And I think if you're a Texans fan, Houston sports fan, you're probably not going out of your way to get something that is like the official beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Anyway, Troy Aikman decided to use Beer's place in the culture war as a way to sell his own 8-Beer.
Everyone's talking about beer companies these days, but nobody's talking about beer. I started 8 with the goal of creating a company dedicated to making really great light beer. No agenda, no distractions, just great f***ing beer.
Damn, he dropped an F-bomb. You know Troy's serious. So I think it's funny that Troy Aikman's like, yeah, we're not about the distractions, but you're using the distractions as a way to talk about the distractions and about how you aren't providing any distractions. Therefore, you are becoming vicariously a distraction. Troy, I see through this. And you see all the usual suspects like OutKick and others are like, yeah, Troy Aikman tells Bud Light to shove it, which it's no, it's not. He's using this as a marketing ploy, which is great. Good for him. Maybe it works. I'm sure it will work with some people. But I see through it, and you should see through it too. He had this tweet, authenticity matters. Lately, there's been a lot of talk about beer companies and not nearly enough conversation about what really matters, the beer itself. But what are you going to say? It's crappy light beer. All light beer tastes pretty much the same. Yes, some is a little bit better than others, but come on, guys. Are we, like, what's the beer ad supposed to be?
Oh, the taste of the barley and the hops. And a refreshing day out in the summer.
You know, I think Shiner Light Blonde has one where, like, there's this guy in the back where, like,
nothing's better than being out back with the Shiner Light Blonde.
And it's like, okay, yeah, and it's locales and all that stuff. But, I mean, most beer tastes the same.
And then we, of course, we have the old man, you know, telling you to stay thirsty.
That's true. But see, that's different because it's Sam Elliott's voice, and Sam Elliott has a glorious voice. So, and this is the top shelf as far as advertising budgets, beer companies we're talking about. Miller Lite, Bud Light, RIP, and Coors Light. Coors Light has Sam Elliott calling up the banquet beer and feel like, yeah, I just was working in a coal mine all day. And I come back home and I got soot all over my face and I'm coughing up the black lung. But guess what? I get my Coors Banquet beer, and that is all I need. And I will say, Coors Light, if you've ever had it in Colorado, oh my God, it tastes amazing. It tastes so much better than the actual canned version of it. You get it on draft in Colorado. Trust me, it's so good. You're like, wait, this is Coors Light? It's so refreshing. Anyway, but Troy Aikman is being rather shameless here. Here is the caption of the tweet that he posted out. You heard the video from it. Lately, there's been a lot of talk about beer companies and not nearly enough conversation about what really matters, the beer itself. And this is what he's using as his advertisement for his own beer. Some brands are taking shortcuts to gain consumers. We're committed to producing a first-class product. No hidden agenda. The hidden agenda is that we don't have an agenda. This is just such malarkey. And it makes me annoyed because he is saying, like, yeah, this beer's better because we don't pander. But yes, you're pandering to the people that don't like the pandering.
Great PR.
I, you know what, RJ? I guess it is.
But like when he talks about it, it's kind of like how many beer companies are you talking about right now that are like really in the public eye for something? Like you're only talking about like one beer
There's company. There's just one. Yes, it's not like all of the beers are out there saying like, "Hey, let your kids change his sex." Like they're not doing that. They sent out one can to Dylan Mulvaney, and Dylan Mulvaney posted it on social media, and it turned into something it wasn't because everyone is bored and looking for things to get mad about. And again, okay, like I'm not telling you how to feel about it. All I'm saying is that escalated quickly, and now all of a sudden you have other beer companies, this one led by Troy Aikman, that are using this to sell theirs because, like, yeah, we're different. You're not using the beer itself here to sell. You're saying, like, we're just about beer. Literally all beer companies are just about beer. All the great places in town that sell beer. Like St. Arnold's. St. Arnold's, that's just about St. Arnold's. Most beer companies are just about the actual beer itself. It's ridiculous. But, okay, Troy, thanks. Thanks for giving me content. I do appreciate that. Anyway, this is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call and to text the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I'm sure this will generate a lot of positive and meaningful interactions with my listeners. I'm sure about that. Coming up next, Astros have a three-game series this weekend against Oakland. The Rangers, up on the Astros by three games, have a three-game series against the very good this year Baltimore Orioles, who have the second-best record in the American League. Will Paul Stradamus' prediction, I'm talking about me, of the Astros being in first place by the end of the month come true? And I talked with ChatGPT, hoping that they could give me Astros content that I couldn't think of on my own. You'll hear what ChatGPT came up with next. Paul Gallant Show.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on terrestrial radio, or our app, or our stream, or our Twitch, or our boat.
I'm on a boat! I'm on a boat! Everybody look at me, because I'm sailing on a boat!
You're on the ESPN 97.5 boat.
I'm the king of the world, on a boat like Leo. If you own the show, then you show not me, oh.